A triathlon is an event that involves long-distance swimming, running, and cycling. It is not for the faint of heart and is not for anybody who does not have a level of sacrifice, discipline, and dedication to the sport. Today, I discuss this with an individual who has dedicated so much of their time and life and sacrificed a lot to get to where they are. Now, you may often see the finished product of the end result of the race, but the amount of training that is required to even get to where this person is remarkable, to say the very least. I have with me an individual who represents Great Britain at this endurance sport, and we get to know what that training process is like, both physically and mentally, and how difficult it can be to compete at these long distance and endurance sports. Apologies in advance for the audio. It gets better as I realized I didn't flip a switch when I started recording, but I did so midway. But without wasting any more time, I bring to you Chloe Dooley.
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I don't really consider myself to be an elite athlete, but I guess, yeah, I've just come back from the European Aquathon Champs, where I was competing for Great Britain, finished ninth. I'm also pediatric physio during my day job, and then around that, yeah, training for swim, bike, and run, really. So yeah, that is me, really.
And look at the way she just casually said it. You know, by day I'm a physio, and by night I compete for GB. But I'm not an elite athlete. I'm just trying to downplay yourself, Chloe, aren't we? I know, very, very, very humble, as you can clearly see. But no, I really do appreciate you coming on to the podcast. One of the reasons I actually want to have you on as well was that I still think that, you know, the fact of long distance running, swimming, cycling is something that I don't think you can just wake up one day and say, oh, let me just pop down and do a half a marathon and walk back. I know this because I tried to do it. It was very hard. It was a very, very hard process. Now, the reason I want to talk to you about this is that I want to get your perspective on how, first of all, let's ask the question of why do you run? Why do you do what you do? And be sure to explain to the people what you're actually doing in as much detail as you feel you can in terms of your athletic side of things, not the physio side, the athletic side of things.
Oh, yeah, that's a tricky question. Why do I do it? I mean, I guess as long as I can remember, I've always grown up in an active family, and, you know, always been encouraged to kind of, you know, do sports, you know, get involved. And, you know, for me, swimming was what I was really passionate about when I was young. You know, I did put a lot of hours into that. And then got into running when I was in university, you know, because the swimming was, I got to a point when I was about 13, 14, where it kind of just plateaued a little bit. And I at that age, you've got, you know, you're trying to do your GCSEs, you're figuring out what your social circle is. So that kind of fell off a little bit, and picked up the running just purely because that was easier to fit in around. That's what a few of my friends were doing. So yeah, ran right through until about 18 months ago when I picked up the bike. Actually got a bike for commuting to work and was like, I quite enjoy this. You know, maybe I'm going to start doing some training. And then that's when I sort of decided, only just over kind of May 2021, I was like, I'm going to enter my first triathlon, which happened to be the Welsh Championships. did a little bit of training. I came from a running background. So, you know, I'd run half marathons, I'd run 10Ks, you know, I'd been doing that for, you know, 5-6 years, but, you know, had never really done open water swimming, had never got on a road bike. And yeah, managed to come away and take the win at the Welsh Championships. And that kind of, for me, I was like, okay, maybe this is finally an event for me that I can get to that top level. Because up until that point, you know, I'd got good times in running. I got good times in swimming. I got to, you know, sort of your county just below national level. Mm-hmm. But for me, I always dreamt of making it to that kind of like top, you know, compete for your country level, at like a championship event, or, you know, yeah, any big event, just competing for GB, for me, that had always been a dream. And actually, you know, coming into triathlon, I kind of felt like I'd found my niche a little bit, and this was something that there's a lot of room I can work on here. And yeah, just been a bit of a roller coaster the last 12 months, but I've finally sort of, yeah, seeing the hard work pay off towards the end of the season and getting that GB selection. But I mean, back to your question as to why I do it, I think for me, I just, you know, I love the satisfaction of being able to set myself goals, you know, get my head down, work hard and achieve those. And, you know, with triathlon, you've not just got one sport to focus on, you've got three. So there's always areas to be improving on, you know, there's always different challenges to do, you know, whether that's in an individual discipline or the event as a whole. Yeah. And like the community is just so friendly out there. You know, I've learned so much just from people kind of opening up and sharing their experiences. And yeah, I'm really excited to see where the next few years of it go. But yeah, I love the hard work, really. I'm one of those people I just, yeah.
I know what it feels like to an extent where you have a thing you're passionate about and you can't it's difficult when someone asks you, why do you do it? You're just like, I just do it because it's part and parcel of you now, isn't it? At this point now, it's a core part of who you are, the ability to compete and the ability to do these events. Now, because when I first met you, which was, I think, around 2020 initially, I only knew you as a runner. I knew you used to run. How far did you used to run back then?
Back then I was more sort of like 10K half marathon, a lot more of the longer stuff. And now that I'm sort of focusing a lot more on triathlon, it's actually more looking at, well, they call it a sprint triathlon, which is sort of a 5K run at the end of your swim and your bike. So actually more the shorter stuff. But but yeah, I've definitely got plans to do longer stuff in the future again. So, you know, I want to kind of attack things from all angles, really.
And that's the interesting thing that I knew initially running, and then out of one day I just see, you know, Chloe's picked up swimming as well and cycling. I'm like, what are you doing now? Like, what is this? And then I realized it's triathlon training. And I was like, that is a different beast, because these are subsequent events straight after each other. It's not like you get a long break in between. It's a race, isn't it? Start to finish. Swim, cycle, run? Or run, swim, yeah, swim, cycle, run.
Yeah, right? Swim, cycle, run. And then obviously you've got some of the subsets. So for me, the competition I've just in for Europeans, that was a swim run. So there was no bike in that one.
That's the interesting thing. So what is the longest so the people listening can put into perspective, how much distance have you covered? You know, the longest one. Oh, and your longest one and your shortest, you know, as you said, subsets with time. What's the longest you've covered between the swim, cycle, run?
So I did a half Ironman, or what they call it, a 70.3, if people are familiar with triathlon stuff, back in May this year. So that's a 1,900 meter swim. And then it's a 56 miles on the bike, and then a half marathon to finish, which is 21K. So, I did that in just under 5 hours. So that was tough. That was really tough. So that's the longest I've done. But for me, more at the moment, the sprint distance. So it's a 750 meter swim, which is like 14 lengths of the pool, if you're
completely
20K on the bike, and then a 5K run to finish. And that's normally just over an hour. So pretty just organs blazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, both of these are crazy in themselves, because the shorter one is basically you almost have to go at almost like full pace, start to finish. And if you think of each of the, I was trying to put into perspective for myself, like in Nigeria, our pools were 25 meters or 50 meters. So I was not thinking, okay, if you do that, let's just call it a lot of times. So I'm not trying to do the math. And then you add a run, and then you add a cycle at rapid distances. Even the half Ironman is very, very interesting that you've been able to do. Now, obviously, there's a lot of training you have to do to get to this point. Now, I'll let you answer that question, how hard that training is and how long that training is. because I know it's a gradual process. I want to shoehorn the fact that I attempted to do a half marathon by mistake and I realized this is hard. And I'm still scared now to do it again because I'm just like, I spent almost 2 hours running. That is a long time. Now, I'm only imagining spending 4 hours, 5 hours with physical activity as you are doing continuously with no particular break. And I was just going for myself. I was just jogging at a very nice pace. And that was very hard. So you obviously are doing this for long periods of times with no breaks in between. What type of training do you do to get you to that point? And how long have you been training for? Is it continuous process? I know it's continuous on where you have to keep training to keep beating your time, but how long before you felt comfortable doing all this?
I mean, I guess for me, I've always, you know, like I swam from when I was probably 5 until I was about 15. And then I ran for, you know, 6 years and then took up triathlon. So it wasn't kind of just a, you know, I woke up one morning, decided to do it. It had been that gradual build up and, you know, but yeah, I mean, sort of peak training season for me, I can do sort of 18 to 20 hours of training a week on top of working full time. So it is. It's a selfish sport, you know, like that people see it and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Look, you go. But what a lot of the time they don't see is the fact that, you know, you perhaps don't meet up with friends. You don't go out at the weekend. You can't plan to just go away on holiday, you know, all of that kind of.
Yeah.
When you want to compete at that high level. Yeah. That sort of, you know, there is time for that, you know. Like at the moment I'm having some time off, which is really nice, but you know, it is pretty constant. You know, you wake up in the morning, go for a swim, come back, go to work, get back. It's a gym or a bike or a run session, you know, and even your weekends, you know, that's such a luxury. Those two full days with no work. So they're big training days. So, but then for me, like training for me is my social side, you know, that's my friends are training. That's, you know, what I enjoy doing. So it's not like a chore, but yeah, it's a real mix as well. So we have a lot of aerobic stuff that we do. So, you know, generally in the winter, a lot more of it is focused on just building an aerobic base. So a lot of long swims, long bikes, long runs, you know, or kind of like threshold effort. So working at sort of the pace you could hold for an hour. So just sort of, you know, you're still in that aerobic zone.
Yeah.
A lot of gym work, strength work. Obviously, you know, when you're training at this high level, there's always a risk of injury. So, you know, as well, having that physio background, you know, I really make sure to prioritize my strength training so that I've got the strongest body to kind of be able to tackle that training. And then, yeah, summer is more kind of, you know, looking at some of that anaerobic speed stuff, more of the technical stuff on the bike and the swim, race practice, and then, yeah, into race season, really. So, yeah, that's obviously one side of the training. Yeah. And then there's the whole nutrition and sleep and everything, which as someone working full time, you know, like I really wish that I had the luxury to, you know, part-time or, you know, train, but, you know, sadly don't. So, you know, I am conscious that I have to make sure sometimes that actually skipping a session one day to focus on sleep and recovery is going to be more beneficial. Making sure that, you know, I meal prep for the week. So if I've got a late training session, I can come home and I'm getting carbs or protein in that I need. Because, you know, if you're not giving your body all of that, how can you expect it to train and perform at the level you want? So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think people just see the iceberg of what you've done performance wise, and they don't kind of see everything else that goes on. But, you know, I love a challenge. It is a challenge, but it's one that I enjoy. So
I think that's it. I think you said something that I found very interesting about it's a whole process. It's not just something, it's not a phase. It's almost for you, it's a lifestyle that you've adopted. It's ingratiating into your day-to-day activity. I think you're right where you say, like, it is a selfish sport, because I only imagine the amount of, you know, people see when people compete for, you know, these type of races. Oh, what position did you get? Oh, how fast did you do it? But there is a lot of work and a lot of hours and a lot of days where I imagine you're not seeing many people beyond the people you're training with for weeks, for example, because, you know, I can't imagine, and I know waking up in the morning. And that's a friend of mine told me that he had a colleague who trained for Ironman as well, where they wake up in the morning, you have to get in a morning swim, as you said, straight after work, you're hitting the gym again, either you're doing strength work, you're doing this, you literally get back home after full day of work and you eat, sleep, you run it back again the next day. And your weekends, as you said, you know, obviously if you had the luxury of going part-time working 2 days a week, it make your training even easier, but you're doing it while working the full 5 days a week as a physiotherapist. And I'm sure that also plays a role, which we'll get to in a second anyway, but it's that amount of dedication and training. Now, you obviously trained for this, as you said, and it's good you had this background, you're already from an athletic background. So it was more or less, am I right in saying you were adding newer skills that you, like, for example, you're swimming from a young age already. So it wasn't like you just learned how to swim and then you were running already good distances, which is distances you'll probably be running now anyway, but it's then adding the cycling and then meshing it all together. That probably, did you find it hard doing all three of these phases, the run, cycle, because you've done each of them separately. Now mixing them all into one event, how hard was that for transition?
Hard, yeah. And I don't think I appreciated at first because I kind of just trained them all separately. Mm. And that's, you know, I'm definitely no expert. And, you know, the bike for me is definitely my weak spot and one that I need to work on, just purely because, you know, I've only got just over a year of cycling in my legs and you're trying to compete against girls who've been cycling since, you know, they could walk. So yeah, that's, you know, for me, the swim and the run is the strongest. Yeah. And that's why for me this year, I focused a lot more on the Aquathon, because I was like, actually, that's where I've got the chance of getting the GB selection. And actually, yeah, when it comes to the full triathlon, like, I'm not quite, I'd love to get to that level one day. And that is the goal, but I am not there at the moment. But yeah, it was a lot of actually kind of thinking about your technique and how you're cycling on the bike and how you pace that cycle so that I'm able to use my run off the bike. Mm-hmm. So obviously knowing that I've got a strong run, what I don't want to do is go all out on the swim, all out on the bike, and then be absolutely cooked for the run and just not able to use that. Actually, sometimes it was a looking and saying, okay, let's hold back a little bit on the bike, but so that then I can go all out on the run. So there's a lot more tactics that go into it. I also had to learn all of the transition stuff. So obviously, you know, in triathlon, if you've watched, you know, the girls that do it in the Olympics, yeah, or there's, you know, something on at the moment called Super League Triathlon, which is lots of really short races all back to back. So obviously transition there is really important. If you want to see some proper triathlon transition, Super League Triathlon will blow your mind. Those girls are insanely talented. But yeah, learning all of the stuff like that. So, you know, mounting my bike, dismounting my bike. And again, I'm definitely not perfect at that, but, you know, that's all a challenge that I'm, you know, looking forward to working on more this year. And but yeah, there's a lot more to it than just being a good swimmer, a good cyclist, a good runner, actually being that good all-round athlete. Yeah, there's a you know, a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of it sounds like, you know, it's not just pure willpower. There's a lot of technique involved in it. Because I know when you did dissertations with me in uni as well and everything, when you're looking at all, like, how much, you know, 3% difference can be the difference between you winning, losing, coming, basically between changes of position. So every second counts. Am I right in saying that, you know, if you're lacking in one area and you make a mistake, or that can cost you the race or can cost you significantly. So obviously, I imagine these are not easy skills to learn, you know, straight off the streets, for example, that you have to take that time to actually hone. Now, you mentioned your training, obviously, and it's the tip of the iceberg we see. We only see the end result, unless you are a blogger and you're posting all your morning, waking up for my morning swim. But do you have a coach? Do you train? Were you always training by yourself? Did you always have a coach? Do you have trainers? And do you train with other people as well? And have you always?
So, yeah, I've had a bit of a mixed journey, actually. So, so kind of when I first took up triathlon, I was predominantly with a running group. So the first year that I did it, Most of the swimming was just me kind of revisiting stuff that I did when I was younger, just, you know, regaining my swimming fitness, because obviously at that point I hadn't swum for about 5-6 years. So, you know, like doing half an hour swim in the pool, I was, you know, ruined. So it was getting my fitness back from that, really. But yeah, the bike, I was just learning how to ride a road bike. I mean, I knew how to cycle, but yeah, learning how to cycle in a race environment, doing a couple of sessions. But yeah, it was all self-coached. And then was lucky enough from September last year, September 2021, to join the Welsh Triathlon training squad that's based in Cardiff. So that gave me a little bit of coaching, unfortunately, because I was working full time, and a lot of the athletes that are on the program are kind of, you know, full time athletes, that their training is their job, really. So I kind of didn't get the chance to be fully involved with the group. So it brought my swim on a lot, but I was still kind of, you know, learning things for myself, really, with the bike and the run, and just, you know, which I think at the start is great because there's so much to learn just from racing and just having a go at it yourself. But I've actually just moved to London about 6 weeks ago now, and I've joined a triathlon team here called Optima Racing Team. So I've got a coach, full-time triathlon coach here.
Nice.
For next season, it's going to be my first season going in, having a coach to give me a bit more guidance, and training with a triathlon group that are, that they're all people who work full time as well. So our training is early morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's going to be a really nice change. I'm looking forward to learning lots. I mean, I think I'm quite switched on with my own body, and, you know, I'm quite good at knowing what works for me and what doesn't work for me. But, you know, with triathlon, there's so many components of it, and actually trying to organize your own training is, you know, takes so much time in itself. Actually having a coach to do a lot of that for you is going to be hopefully a positive change. But yeah, you know, trying it this year, and we'll see what happens. So
okay, that'll be interesting, I imagine. Obviously the good thing is now you're training with a team that people are similar like you, so the hours that you'll be training will, you know, match what everyone else is doing as well. And yeah, I know what when you say training by yourself and training with a structure is tends to be different, isn't it, in terms of you can get external advice. I mean, you're a physiotherapist in the daytime, so you know this. Like, if you try and rehab yourself, it's different from when someone is telling you what to do, or someone external assesses you, gives you a program, tells you this is it. Obviously, you know your body best, but still getting input from outside is always very beneficial. Now, you talked quite a bit about even like the physical standpoint of things, like how much you have to do physically in terms of getting your body up to optimum performance to be able to compete. Because again, don't downplay it, you are competing at GB level, which is that international? That's international level, isn't it? Is that national?
Yeah, just for the aquathon at the moment. I mean, the triathlon, this year I was doing the super series, which is kind of like the domestic level, but the highest level that you can do sort of domestically. So it's kind of like the top, probably like 20 to 30 girls, sort of, you know, junior girls in the country that compete it. So I'm definitely not, when it comes to triathlon, I'm, you know, not at that top level, but, you know, my swim and my run is there. So
That's the aim, isn't it? You're trying to get to that point where your triathlon is where exactly you want it to be. Now, the physical standpoint is obviously very tough, but the mental side of it, how have you found that in terms of, because I imagine, I'll use myself as an example, which I don't know why I keep using myself as an example, but like when I did the little run I did, the almost 8 kilometers, through that run, I started to find myself talking to myself in my head and telling myself things like, okay, what if I just stop now? Okay, maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just cut it. I've done a lot already. But then you see myself talking to myself saying, actually, you're already almost there. You just have to keep pushing forward. All right, just make it to this point. And it was almost a mental battle I was doing with myself. And I used to do that when I used to play basketball in uni and basketball in secondary school. You're giving yourself mental battles.
Did you experience that, or do you still experience these mental challenges? Because I think your body can be telling you, I think we're all right now. I think we should probably stop. But your mind is like, actually, I'm all right. Let's keep going. And obviously it's tapering that both of them together to say which one wins and tells you to keep going. You all listen to your body, but did you ever find that the mental components of doing races or training was ever difficult? Or how?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who's competing at, you know, that you're an elite level, you know, there's such a big mental component of it, you know, from the discipline it takes with your training, you know, being able to push yourself, you know, into those pain levels, because, you know, racing hurts, you know, it's not meant to be easy when you're at these top levels, but, you know, you've got to be so switched on and, you know, to try and remember, okay, what are all my race tactics, you know, to, you know, make the most of each discipline and stuff. And, you know, we don't all have days where we're mentally there, you know. Actually, for me, when we had the British Championships just back in August, and I just moved to London, done a week in my first job, my head was a bit all over the place. I was knackered. And, you know, just going into the race, I just wasn't focused on it, you know, didn't have that kind of drive and motivation. And I massively noticed that, you know, even though physically, you know, I was in great shape, but mentally I just couldn't pull that race together. So yeah, it is challenging. I probably say more so with the training, actually. You know, especially when it's the cold winter mornings and your alarm goes off at 5:30 and you think, what am I doing this for? You know, having the mental strength to get yourself up and go to training. But actually, when you get to race day, it's like, okay, all the hard work is done here. You know, all of these girls here have all worked hard. You know, this is a level playing field that everyone's got a chance here. So I've just got to do my best. And yeah, I mean, I don't really know what I think about in races, to be honest. it always just happens so fast. Think more, but
well, it's worked for you so far. Not remembering, I mean, I'm sure 4 hours just goes by like that. 3 hours, you know, you blink and 3 hours are gone, you're at the end of the race, isn't it? No, but it's very telling that you said that, because, you know, the training part of it, and you mentioned discipline. I think the amount of discipline you have to have, I always just think I have discipline. I don't have as much discipline as I think I do. Like, I keep telling myself for the past longest time, you know what, Farouk, you're going to wake up 6 a.m., 5:30 in the morning, maybe get a run in and then start, go to work and then go to gym afterwards. I did that once in the past 3 months and I've just, I lacked the discipline and I just accepted, all right, Farouk, you're just going to do evening exercises. But to be able to tell yourself in the morning, you're going to do this. And this is a habit you've developed now for, is it years? You wake up 5:30 now religiously?
I used to do it when I used to run. Well, when I was swimming, when I was younger, yeah, we used to train in the morning. And then, yeah, when I was running, some days I would, if I had stuff on in the evening, I would get up and run in the morning, or, you know, if I was doing a double session. I think more so since I've moved to triathlon, just because you're trying to fit three sports in. So obviously most days we're doing two training sessions, and when you work, you know, the only way to fit in a training session is to get up early.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, for me now, like I say, it's just that routine. And I always say, you know, because it's that balance of, okay, come on, you know, get into a routine. I need to push myself. I'm not going to get better if I don't push myself, but also watching that you don't burn out and overdo it. So I always give myself like three chances. So if I, you know, come home from work one day, I've got a session and I'm like, I really can't go, I really don't want to do it. Okay. That's one. I take myself, I force myself to go there, but that's one chance. If I have three chances within the space of a week, so three times where I'm really, you know, it's taking more than my normal motivation to get myself out for a session, or, you know, to perform in a session, then I will take myself back and give myself a rest day. Because I think three times in a week where you're really struggling is probably your body saying, whoa, I just need, you know, sometimes just a day, a lie in, you know, just a normal day. Recovery. And then, Yeah, and I find for me that's a good way of me kind of keeping track of, okay, this is my body's coping with the level that I'm putting it through, or whoa, I just need to ease back for a day or two.
It's still a high amount of discipline, but is that listening to your body as well? Now, the tricky thing that I, so obviously you work full time now, Chloe, as a physiotherapist, but back, I mean, I'll say 2-3 years ago, you were a student and you were also still training for runs. But I think back then you were only doing runs. Now you're working full time and training for triathlons. Like, how big of a difference is that, and how much of a transition has that been? Because I can imagine when you're in university, although physiotherapy itself is not a degree where you can just, you know, you have so much time free, you're doing a lot of work still, but I presume you'd have more time than you do than working 5 days a week full time. And the fact that I think previously you said you were on call weekends was tough. How much of a change has that been now that you've come into the workforce?
Yeah, no, definitely it was a bit of a change. And to go from uni where, yeah, like you say, there's generally more, well, there's more people doing sport around you and you've got more time, to, yeah, fitting it around full-time work and actually, you know, you've got all these adult responsibilities that you need to do as well. But I think it's been quite a gradual process. You know, when I first started work, I gave myself a bit more time to settle in, whereas now that I'm kind of, you know, well over 2 years qualified and, you know, used to working, actually, once I get into my routine, I find that everything slots in quite well. So, like I say, it's just, I have to be selective with the things that, you know, social wise and, you know, anything else I do outside of work. Sometimes I have to be a bit selective, but, you know, that's my choice because, you know, I've got these big crazy goals that, you know, I want to chase in sport, and, you know, I'm enjoying doing it along the way. So,
yeah, I like that. It's the life you chose, or did the life choose you? Let's be very corny and cliche. You didn't choose this life, but the life chose you of being an athlete. But no, I really do appreciate, and I'm going to ask you a question about your, how you balance that social, but we're going to do that in the next podcast episode. I'm getting tongue twisted here, primarily because I think this one's a very good introspective opinion, and I definitely have taken a lot of things about the mindset of goes to someone who is training like you are and competing as you are. Before we wrap up this segment on the way you train and why you do it, do you have anything to say to the good people still listening to the end of this podcast?
I'll say well done for listening to me ramble on about my swim, bike and run antics. But yeah, I just kind of say, you know, get yourself a routine, set yourself some goals, and, you know, nothing is too crazy to achieve. It doesn't need to be GB. It can be whatever level you want. But yeah, just go for it, really.
Nice. And that's a good place to start, because that's where we'll probably pick off in the next episode. See you there, Chloe. One second now. I hope you enjoyed the podcast episode, but also make sure to subscribe to the Brooks Health Podcast on YouTube as well as the podcast so you don't miss another episode, but also follow us on social media @Rooks Health. Till the next video on the Rooks Health Podcast.